Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 10, we were taught that God does not always reveal all of His will for our lives at one time, but in steps, a little bit at a time. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
God does not always reveal His will to us in full. He waits to see if we're going to obey the first part before He reveals the next part. Back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, God laid on my heart to preach more on Sundays, verse by verse, through books of the Bible. Now, in doing that, I had usually reserved that to Wednesday nights, and on Sundays I preached more revivalistic and evangelistic messages. But God had laid that on my heart, and I was still able to be revivalistic and evangelistic with verse by verse. And I put very detailed outlines in putting these things together. Well, 10 years later, the Lord begins a radio ministry. I didn't know God was going to do that. I had no idea God was going to do that. All I knew is I was to start doing these outlines. I was supposed to start doing verse-by-verse study, even on Sundays. And then He revealed to me the next step. As a matter of fact, even when He began to reveal to me the radio ministry, I was somewhat reluctant. I says, no, there are men much better than I am, and they still are much better than I am, but I still have to obey. See, He reveals things to us sometimes in steps. Maybe it is that John thinks he's going to get to read what is in the book. And so he gets up there to take the book. And then he is told to eat it. But he's not told until he actually gets up there to take the book that he's to eat it. Now, being sent, I can see that he has a vision in his mind of what he's about to read, because the seven thunders have uttered their voices. And so he's thinking this has something to do with the seven thunders, because the book was referred to twice here in this chapter. And when I look upon this book being opened, then evidently this book and what's written in there, he wants me to read it. And so we can see that that must be in his mind. Sometimes we get involved in ministry and we have certain expectations, sometimes of success. Other times we have expectations that things are supposed to go a certain way or certain things are supposed to happen. Maybe we have an expectation that we do this and that and it's going to make us feel good. Some people have ideas that what they do is going to make them financially prosperous. Now, looking back over the years, I've seen God take me through things that I did not think that He was aware of at the time. Only later I saw that He was there all the time and He did all the work. Now, had I known what I was going to go through in those things, I probably would have tried to figure another way out of it. Now, can you imagine John standing there saying, look, Lord says, see that open book and saying, yeah, I want you to walk over there, take it out of His hand and eat it. No, He just says, go over there and take the open book. And I think God said, Andy, I want you to go do this, but this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen to you, and that's going to happen to you. I don't want to go through that. But if I don't go through that, then I miss out on His molding and making of me. If Joseph doesn't spend those years in a prison, he will not be molded and making to be able to save his people, Israel. If Moses doesn't spend 40 years in a wilderness, he will not be molded and making to lead the children out of Egypt. Now, he's not only told to eat the book, he's told that it will be sweet to your taste, but it's going to make your belly bitter. I have what is called diverticulitis. One of the bad things for that is peanuts. And I was in a restaurant one time, and they had peanuts there in the barrel that you ate while you were waiting for your seat. So I ate some, and a couple days later, I had pain. And I had some natural remedies that I'd take. It takes about 3 or 4 days to get over it with these home remedies, but I do it. But I know what the pain is from, I know what causes it, and I know what works. Well, about a week or so later, after the pain is gone, it seems like I'm eating, and it may even be in the same restaurant somebody else has invited me out, and we're waiting, and there are peanuts there. Now, to show you how unintelligent this preacher is, I'm telling the people what happened to me a week or two earlier, eating peanuts and how it affected me. And the whole time I'm telling them about it, I'm eating peanuts. Now, fortunately, that time, I didn't end up with the diverticulitis like I did the first time. And you know what's funny, too, is I really don't love peanuts. It's just that I'm a sucker for free things, I think. So I sat there and ate the peanuts. Now, this book is bitter to the stomach, but not the tongue. The Greek word for belly is koilia. It sounds like colitis, and that's part of what the term comes from. And as a matter of fact, the word itself almost sounds like an intestinal problem. The word of God should be sweet to our taste. On the one hand, sometimes it gets inside us and there's so much dirt that many times there's just some old painful scrubbing. Okay? And it's an age-long truth that before he can work through you, he must work in you, and his spirit works in you through the Word of God. Now, we've seen a scenario that is similar to that of our text in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 7 through 9. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, that was this book, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And then verse 7 says, But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, for though they be a rebellious house. And then it goes on to say how this made his belly bitter. And that's more in line with our text, as we see that the proclamation of the Word of God, as it's given, is not received very well. Now, Ezekiel was sent to the house of Israel, his own people, and they hated his preaching. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 31 and 32 says this, And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Wow. Here he is, speaking to the children of Israel, and they say nice things to his face. Oh, they say things that the preacher probably wants to hear. And they even say, hey, come, let's go sit as his people. Let's go see what this guy's going to say next. They hear the words, but they do them not. My friend, it's not just enough to hear preaching. But when the Word of God is preached, you listen in order to obey what God would have you to do. We're reminded of 2 Timothy 3:12, Yea, and all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And living in the last days, the next verse says that evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you stand, and you do as Jesus did. And if you do that, you'll be hated. You might even be hated by your own family. We find Jesus had problems in John 7, verses 5 through 7. For neither did his brethren believe in him. That's talking about James and those that later did believe in him, but at the time they didn't. It wasn't until after his resurrection that some of his brothers believed in him. But it says, neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, that is, unto these brethren that were his brothers by Mary, his mother, who had them after Jesus had been born. It says, my time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that their works are evil. You ever hear people tell you, oh, you shouldn't preach against sin, shouldn't be so negative? Boy, they would have really hated the Lord Jesus Christ because he testified of their works that they were evil. Man, they would have hated Jesus. You see, my friend, standing on this word is tough. It's not for quitters, and it's certainly not for wimps. I talk to fundamental Christian colleges, and it's a big problem for them. We have it too. Teenagers, young adults will have MySpace and some other type of internet blog. I've never really been on them. But they'll begin to run down the church. They'll run down the preaching, the music, and insert half-truths and full lies. And truth, and a real, honest, biblical stand, although you do it in love, it won't be accepted as in love. And it'll make your belly bitter because so many of these are people you love, just like Jesus' brethren. He loved them, but they would reject him for his stand and standards. And so it makes your belly bitter. I've been told of things that people said about me on their internet spaces, and they say, you ought to go see it. And I said, no, I don't want to see it. And I don't. I don't go look see what people say about me. The ministry's not about me anyhow. If I'm going to be defended, I got to let the Lord defend me. In that verse 11, the last verse here in Revelation 10 says, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Well, now it's pretty well went around the world, hasn't it? And now we think about that he's going to prophesy before many tongues, nations, and kings. And you say, well, wait a minute. You said that John wrote this sometime in the AD 90s. Yes, he did. And you said that John is probably in his 90s. Yeah. Did John ever get off the island of Patmos? Oh, we're not sure. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.